turn in our Bibles today to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Maybe if you looked up here already, you realize we're prepared to have the Lord's Supper today. And that's what we want to preach about. I told Kim today, I said, I probably over the years have preached more different messages on the Lord's Supper than anything else. I probably preached, I'm just going to guess, 14 or 15 different messages on the Lord's Supper. And feel like today that's what the Lord would have us to preach on. And so we're going to read just a few verses and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And I desire your prayers. I'm sounding sort of hoarse, so maybe we'll get over that. I hope so. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read verses 1 and 2 to begin with this morning. The Bible says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you." And then look over in verse 24 and 25. We'll just read these verses and then we'll pray. The Bible said, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for letting us be here today. And Lord, I am very unworthy in and of my own self to stand and say anything about you, about what you've done for us on Calvary. But Lord, we realize today that you've left the responsibility up to us to preach the gospel and to carry out the Great Commission. And so, Lord, we come today asking that you'd cleanse us, that you'd fill us, that you would forgive us, that you would help us. Lord, I pray you'd speak to hearts. I pray that you'd have your way as we come for this very serious time of thinking about the Lord's Supper and what it means. And Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray you'd save souls. I pray you'd use the message for your honor and your glory. And Lord, that we might truly worship thee today in spirit and in truth. And I want to thank you for your blessings. I want to thank you, Lord, for the good services we've been in this week and just the privilege to serve you and live for you. And I thank you for that. Dear God, just have your way now, and we'll thank you for all that you do. Ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, let's go back to verse number 2 to begin with today. And verse number 2, Paul said this. Now, I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things. Remember these things that he's writing to the Corinthians. That's what he's saying. Remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. And what got me thinking about this message, other than the fact that I knew we were going to have the Lord's Supper this morning, is Chloe came up to me. Thursday, I believe it was. And she asked me, she said, "Now I want you to explain to me what the Lord's Supper is." And so she came up and she asked me that question. And I was, of course, trying to get ready to go and preach in revival. And I'd just known a very short few hours that I was going to go that night and preach. And so I was in a hurry. And I don't believe that I did a very good job explaining to her what exactly the Lord's Supper was. And, you know, it sort of caught me off guard as well. But I started off, you know, she just walked up and asked me that. And I said, "Well, it's an ordinance." And so you think about how many seven-year-olds know what an ordinance is. And I heard myself say that, and I thought, if I was 7 years old, would I know what an ordinance is? But that's how I started out. And then I said, "Well, no, let me go somewhere else. Let me explain that a different way." And so I tried to take the Bible just a few minutes and sort of explain to her some things about the Lord's Supper. And so I've been thinking about that. How do you explain what the Lord's Supper is, why we do this, what it means in the simplest way? And I want to be a preacher that can explain things where people can understand it. And I believe that it's the Lord's will that we try to be that way. So I want to try to preach today on the subject, the Lord's Supper for beginners. The Lord's Supper for beginners. Now, there is no shame in being a beginner or being a learner or coming to church and saying, well, I don't understand that. What's it mean? And so we're not talking about just a child today, but anybody maybe that would not know exactly what is the Lord's Supper. I want to try to explain that just as simply as I can today. There's no shame in being a beginner or being a learner, but it is shameful when we cease to learn or when we refuse to learn. Or when we say, I already know all about that, I don't need to hear. I am continually learning. And I want to be a learner. And I want to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So with those thoughts in mind, we'll begin this morning. And there's really no better way to begin than how the Bible begins. And so we are going to go here in verse number 2 and begin with what I said the other day, the Lord's Supper is an ordinance. That's what Paul called it here in verse number 2. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. So it is the Lord's Supper, number 1, is an ordinance. But we need to explain today what an ordinance is. What does it mean? And we'll get to that in just a moment. But the Lord's Supper, we also call it other things. If you look in chapter number 10, verse number 16, it's called over there communion. Sometimes we call it communion. We'll say, well, this Sunday at church, we're going to have communion. And what that is, verse 16, Paul said, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So we're coming together today and we're going to have what Paul called it sometimes, communion. And when we have communion, that comes from the word communicate. And when we communicate one with another, we talk and we fellowship and we listen one to another. And as we come to have communion, what we are doing, we are fellowshipping with the Lord. And what we desire is to communicate with Him. And we desire that the Lord would speak to us and remind us of some things that the Lord has done for us. And that we could communicate with Him and we could talk to Him and we could pray to Him. And we could make sure as we come together today that we are able to communicate with the Lord. And so it is called communion for that reason. Now, it is called communion. It is called also the Lord's table. Look at chapter 10, verse number 21. What the Bible said over there. And here he is instructing them concerning the Lord's Supper. But he said, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Amen. Now we are either going to live for one or the other, but we cannot live for both. Amen. We are either in this life, we're going to live for God, or we're going to live for the devil. But Paul said you cannot eat at Satan's table and the Lord's table. It's going to be one or the other. Amen. And so it's called the Lord's table. Now at our house, we try to eat as many meals together as we can as a family. And I believe it is good for families to sit down at the table together. And so as we come together as a church today, we're sitting down at the Lord's table. Now, I grew up sitting down at Mom's table. And every once in a while, we go and sit at Mamaw's table, and those were always good times. I like to sit down at Kim's table, and we sit down, we fellowship together as family, and we have a good time, and we talk about things. But as we come this morning, we have to be reminded that this is the Lord's table. And so when we come to the Lord's table, we don't act exactly the same that we do at Mama's table. At Mama's table, we might cut up and laugh, and we're having a good time, and we want to have a good time this morning, but we need to remember how serious this is. This is the Lord's table. And it is a time to remember the Lord, and that it is the Lord that has invited us to His table. That's what he's saying. This is the Lord's table. So it's a serious thing. And it is called the Lord's Supper. Now, in chapter 11, verse number 20, he said this. He said, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, supper in the Bible is the evening meal. And it is called the Lord's Supper because when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he instituted the first Lord's Supper, it was at the Passover meal, which is always the evening meal or the last meal of the day. It's not the Lord's dinner. It's the Lord's Supper. Now, dinner time is in the middle of the day. When Joseph and his brethren, or when Joseph's brethren came down and they didn't know who he was, he said, we're going to dine in the middle of the day. That's when dinner is. But supper is the evening meal. It's the last meal of the day. You can read about that in Matthew chapter number 26. Now we're going to have it in the middle of the day, but it's called in the Bible the Lord's Supper. And traditionally speaking, families have had the evening meal, the meal together is the supper meal. You might have breakfast and dad's already got up and gone. And then the children come along and they eat and they get ready to go out and have their day. And then mom might get a bite to eat before she goes out. And at dinner time or lunch time, what they call it, somebody's at school and somebody's at work. We're not all together, but at supper time, we're all going to come together. And so as a church, we come to have the Lord's Supper. We're all going to sit down together. So it's communion. It's the Lord's table. It's the Lord's Supper. It means all the same thing. That's what we're talking about. But it is also called an ordinance. An ordinance comes from the word order. And so when we have the Lord's Supper, we do not try to change it up and make it something different. But we try to keep the ordinances as they were delivered unto the early church. And so we do the same thing when we come to have the Lord's Supper. And there is a reason for that. We're not trying to change it. We're trying to observe it and keep it the same way. Because it has a lot of meaning behind it. And so it is called an ordinance. There are ordinances in the church. If you notice in verse number 2, he said, keep the ordinances. There are only two ordinances given to the New Testament church. Amen. The first ordinance is the ordinance of believers' baptism. That's the first one. And then the second one is the Lord's Supper. Amen. Now, keep your place here and look in Acts. The book of Acts, I want to read something over there. Acts chapter number 2. And so we're sort of preaching this morning. Going to show you some things from the Word of God and trying to explain this. What is an ordinance given to the church? Something that we're supposed to do over and over and over again as long as this age lasts. We're supposed to keep the ordinances that the Lord Jesus gave to the first church, the early church. In Acts chapter number 2, verse number 41, there's three things I want to point out in verse 41 and verse 42. This is the early church. I mean, it's in its infant stages. And it said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, what did they do in that early church? First of all, in verse number 41, then they that gladly received his word. That is talking about those that received the gospel message. Those that had received the saving message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he had died, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day so that they could be saved. They gladly received his word. That's talking about people that had gotten saved. Amen. Then it says after that, it says that they were baptized. After somebody gets saved, you know what they ought to do? They ought to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Amen. And that's what they did in the early church. As soon as somebody got saved, they followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Baptism does not save us. But the Lord has commanded that all that are saved should be baptized. As soon as possible, associate with the Lord Jesus Christ in believers' baptism. And that is what they did. So they were saved, then they were baptized, then they continued on with the disciples. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That means they studied their Bibles together. And fellowship. They had church together. But then it says, and in breaking of bread. That is a reference to the Lord's Supper. Amen. And from the very earliest days, they observed the Lord's Supper. And we still do the same thing today. Somebody gets saved. They get baptized. Then they observe with the rest of the church the Lord's Supper. Now, this is not some idea that some man came up with somewhere. Paul said back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 that this was from the Lord. Amen. That this is not Paul's supper. It's the Lord's supper. And it came from the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 23, Paul said this. He said, for I have received of the Lord. The Lord showed him this. That which also I delivered unto you. Paul said, I got it from the Lord. And I delivered it unto you. What was it? Verse 23. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And he's talking about what happened in Matthew chapter number 26. The night before the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary. So what we are doing this morning, it is from the Lord. Amen. It's the Lord's table. It's the Lord's supper. And it's an ordinance. It's a law. It's a commandment that the Lord has given unto us. So we're carrying on and we're doing what he told us to do. Amen. This is very important. Number two, the Lord's Supper is a reminder. Now look back in verse number two. He said, now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances. He said, remember this. Remember these things. Keep the ordinances. How do we keep the ordinances? He told us how to do it. Look in verse number 24. Chapter 11, verse number 24. The Bible said this. Now, here's how to keep the Lord's Supper. And he said in verse 24, and you got to remember the last part of verse number 23, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And that's not the end of a sentence, but it goes on into verse number 24. And it says, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse number 25, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So when we are doing the Lord's Supper, we are doing it in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a reminder. Amen. Amen. It's something that the Lord never wanted us to forget. What he has done for us. Now, in the New Testament church, there is no such thing as an unbaptized believer. Amen. They were all baptized. They all followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Believer's baptism is not sprinkling water on your head. Amen. It's not pouring water on a baby. But it is a believer, somebody that knows the difference and has accepted Christ and said, I want to follow the Lord. And baptism in the Bible, the word itself means to dip or immerse. Amen. Why? That's a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All who were saved followed the Lord in believers' baptism. And then after that, they would partake of the Lord's Supper. So everybody that partook of the Lord's Supper had first been baptized. Amen. There's a proper order here. And there's a reason for this order. So that every believer would have two reminders in his life of what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for him. We'll never forget what the Lord has done for us. So after you get saved, you have a reminder, which is baptism. Everybody ought to remember being baptized. If you're old enough to be saved, surely you're old enough to remember when you got baptized. And you'll remember that your whole life. When I got baptized, and what that meant was that I had been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I wanted to obey his command. Amen. And I wanted to follow him and do what he told me to do. Y'all do that one time. When you've done something one time in your life, it's special. You remember that. Amen. I got saved, I got baptized. I remember that. I remember what the Lord has done for me. But the Lord's Supper is something that we do, and we do the Lord's Supper many times. Many, many times over our life. As believers, we will observe the Lord's Supper. Why is it that way? So we'll never forget what the Lord's done for us. We've been baptized one time. I remember that. Remember what the Lord done for me. Shortly after I had gotten saved, I got baptized, but many times since then, one or two times a year, most years, I've observed the Lord's Supper. That also reminds me what the Lord's done for me. Now, it reminds me that the Lord gave his body so that I could be saved. Look in verse number 24. Somebody asked me, is that song we sing, Broken for Me, is that biblical? Sure it is. Now, the bones of the Lord Jesus Christ were not broken. But his body was broken for you and for me. Do you know what that means? His body was broken for you and me. The Lord was not sick when he died. The Lord didn't have anything wrong with him when he died on the cross. The Lord didn't have cancer or something. The Lord was not even going to be affected by old age and eventually die anyway. But he gave his life. His life, his spirit was broken for you and I. It was stopped. It was interrupted. According to his own word, he was killed. He gave his life for you and me. It's broken for you and for me. So that we could be saved. His body, we find that in verse 25. Verse number 24. When he given thanks, he break it. That broken bread is a picture that the Lord's body was broken. broken for us. He said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. There's nothing saving about having the Lord's Supper. Salvation comes by trusting in what the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross. And this is done in remembrance of that. We do this to remember what the Lord's done for us. It's not saving. It does not keep you on the road to heaven. It is simply a reminder of what the Lord has done for us. John 1:14 said, and the Word, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God. It's for believers. It's to remind us of what the Lord's done for us. Now, I remember when I was a little boy and I'd sit there with my parents and we'd have the Lord's Supper and it would pass by and I'd want some. Isn't that for me? Isn't that for everybody? What's a little child think? I don't know. Y'all are being selfish. That's not for everybody. That's for believers.
Amen. Right.
And she would tell me, no. No, you can't have any. Why not? I want to know why not. Because you're not saved. This is for saved people. This is for believers. You see, that is an illustration of teaching people that they need to be saved. They need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ personally. You'll not go to heaven just because you're sitting in a church this morning. You'll not go to heaven just because your mama or your family are Christians. You must come individually yourself and be saved. It's broken for you is what Paul said. This do in remembrance of me. We're reminded that His body was given. We are reminded that His blood was shed for you and I. Look at verse number 25, what the Bible says. After the same manner also He took the cup, which is just grape juice. That's what it is. He took the cup. When He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it. Notice it says it again. In remembrance of me. It reminds us the Lord Jesus Christ gave the ultimate sacrifice that He died in our place. John 15:13. The Bible says over there, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Here it is, Memorial Day weekend. And we remember those who died, those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, so we can be free to worship, free to live, free to come and go as we please, free to vote as we please, free to go to church. Somebody paid a price. I was reading a story about a man, his name's Michael Murphy, and every year there's a Memorial Day challenge in his honor. And a lot of military and police and gyms and things, they put on this memorial for this Michael Murphy and what he did several years ago. He was a Navy SEAL and he was in Afghanistan or Iraq. I can't remember which one, but his Navy SEAL team came under fire. And they were outnumbered and there was nobody to help them. And Michael Murphy was the radio man. And he climbed out from behind shelter so he could get a signal so he could call in some help because they were all going to die if they don't get some help soon. And he crawled out and he made the call, but in making the call he was shot and mortally wounded and he died. And he's considered a hero today because he gave his life for his friends. And he is remembered and considered a hero because he gave his life for his friends. But the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for all of us. He died upon Calvary. He willingly laid down his life and shed his blood so that all mankind, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Amen. Arab, American, Japanese, it doesn't matter. He died for all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You talk about a hero. You talk about a memorial. This is a memorial to the Lord Jesus Christ. A reminder of what he did for us on Calvary. He gave his life so we could be saved. He ought to be your hero today. It's a reminder. I'll show you one last thing. The Lord's Supper is also a memorial. A memorial also means something to put us in remembrance, but it is to remind us of something else. Look in verse number 26. The Bible said, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." I've got that highlighted in my Bible. I really like the sound of that. Amen. Till he come. We are to do this as a memorial. This is a reminder. This is a visual reminder that we are going to do this until the trump of God sounds. Till he comes. One of these days is going to be the last day we have the Lord's Supper. When you see that, you be reminded this morning, till he come. Till he come. I was reading about there is in the Philippines. There's a memorial over there. It's called the Leyte Landing Memorial. And Preacher Jeff Wilson, he had a picture of that on a postcard when he had been over there and visited in the Philippines back in February. And he had a postcard that had this memorial on it. It's in the Philippines, and it is beside the ocean over there. It's a huge pool. And if you look at it, it looks like these men are walking out of the ocean. There's seven men in that memorial, and they're about four times the size of a normal human being. So it's a huge, huge thing. And what it is a reminder of when General Douglas MacArthur came back to the Philippines in 1945. And liberated the Philippines from the Japanese Imperial Army. But General Douglas MacArthur is a hero over there today. The Filipino people are free because of General MacArthur. He came to the Philippines. But the interesting thing is that was not the first time that he had been to the Philippines. He had been to the Philippines in 1942, and he was fighting over there. And the Japanese began to get the upper hand. And President Roosevelt ordered MacArthur to get out of the Philippines. And MacArthur did not want to go. He knew if he left the Philippines that there'd be no hope for those people whatsoever. But he obeyed what the president said, and he went away. But he made a promise to those Filipinos. He said, "I shall return." Amen. And while he was gone, it fell to the Japanese. And the Japanese were just as barbaric and horrible as the Germans were. They set up concentration camps. They killed them by the thousands and tortured them. And it was an awful time. 2.5 years later, he came back, and he didn't come by himself. Those other six men that are with him represent the other armies, the Allied armies, the Australians and the Filipinos, and all those armies came back, and they waged the greatest sea battle of all time up to that time and liberated the Filipino people. He said, "I shall return." When he came back, he didn't come by himself. He came with the army to get the job done. And MacArthur is as much a hero over there, more so than even here in America. The Lord Jesus said, I'm coming back. And do you know when he comes back, he's not coming by himself. He's coming back with the armies which are in heaven shall follow him upon white horses. He said, I'm coming back. He told the disciples before he was crucified. He said in John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Lord Jesus said he's coming again. When the Lord went back to heaven in Acts chapter number 1, and the disciples were out there, they saw him taken up in a cloud, and the Bible said a man stood by them and said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Jesus said he was coming back. The angel said he was coming back. Paul said we were to do this till he come back. I'm glad to tell you this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. He's going to return. And we're going to do this until he does. One of these days will be the last time we'll do it. Look over in Romans chapter 8. Let me show you something over there, and I'll be done in just a few minutes. In Romans chapter 8, I was studying over there, and I actually mentioned this a few Wednesday nights ago, I think. Maybe it was the Sunday morning message. I can't remember. But it said in Romans chapter number 8. In verse number 22, Paul said over there, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. He's talking about those that are saved, got the Spirit of God on the inside. He said, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the Lord coming again. And when the Lord comes again, we that are saved, we'll receive a new body, a glorified body. Do you know what it's like to be away from home? And you get ready to go home. And the closer that you get to home, the more you want to be home. You ever experience that? And you don't have to go far. You don't have to be halfway around the world. You can be at work and you just had enough. It's aggravating. And it's a lot of pressure. And towards the end of the day, you just say, man, I just want to go home. I just can't wait to get home. As soon as I get home, I'm going to just be able to unwind. I'm going to be able to relax. I'm going to leave it all behind for a little while. I just can't wait to get home. Or maybe you go on a trip somewhere and, oh, it's all right to begin with and you had a good time, but then the closer you get, I love to go on vacation, but on the last day, all I'm thinking about, I'm ready to get back home. Amen. We always say, no, we'll stay a little bit longer, but it never works out. I just want to get home. And I don't want to stop halfway and mess around. I tell them, I say, go to the bathroom before we get in the car. We're headed to the house. Let's see how fast we can do it. And the closer I get up the mountain and the nearer I get, I just want to be home. According to the Bible, Paul said, we that have the Spirit, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption of the body, waiting for the Lord to come. Do you think this morning, according to the Bible, that the closer God's people get to home, the more we want to go home? Went to revival last week, last Friday night, closed out the meeting. I was talking with some of the brethren on the porch. We was talking about life, talking about work, getting ready to go. And I'm supposed to go back in October and preach a full week meeting. And so I said, brethren, we'll see you in October. Well, we'll see you then, Lord willing. And we said, unless the Lord comes. And the other brother, he said, that'd be all right. I said, that'd be all right. I said, I'd rather go home tonight than to go back to my home. I see the world. I see the way the world's going. I see the way things are. I see what our children are going to face. And then on top of all that, there's just this longing that no matter what's going on, it's in my mind. Home. Real home. You ever get up and check the weather? I've got an app. I can see the weather in Boone. I can see the weather in Oklahoma. I can see the weather down on the coast. I look at that every once in a while. Wonder what it's like out in Oklahoma where Preacher Mark's at. Wonder if they're having any tornadoes. Wonder what it's going to be like. I'd like to have one on there that had heaven. Let's check it out. It's going to rain here. It's going to be storms out there. Here it is. Heaven. It's going to be perfect today. There'll be no storms. There'll be no rain. There'll be no allergy alert. We was out in Oklahoma. There'll be no dust alert. Flashing thing come across the bottom of Preacher Mark's television. To me, I'm thinking there's a tornado and it's flashing and beeping and it said, I think it said dust alert. I said, oh my, we're going to die of dust. We've got to worry about that now. We've got to worry about allergies. We've got to worry about storms. In heaven, we'll never have to worry about nothing again. What are we going to do up there? Well, don't have to hurry and be nowhere. Preacher Melvin will be able to stand around and talk all he wants to. All the rest of us, nobody be in a hurry to go home. Be able to catch up, fellowship, see friends, see loved ones, smell the smells, see the sights. Home, real home. The closer it gets, the more we ought to long. Something in our spirit wants to go home. Jesus said, do that. Do that as a reminder till it comes. And one of these days, we're going to do this down here. And the next time, we're going to do that over there. Till he come. Till he come. I'd rather go there than to finish up the service here today. Amen. Till he come, he said. This day may be the last time that we have the Lord's Supper. I'm closing this morning. I ask you the question, do you know that you're saved? Do you know if you died, where you'd go? Do you know that heaven is your home? Are you saved? Have you ever believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ? And you can think back in your mind and say, I was saved when I was 9. Or I was saved when I was 15. Or I was saved when I was 30. But you, every one of you here listening to my voice this morning, there ought to be a time in your life where you can go back to and say, this is when I accepted Christ as my Savior. Do you know that you've been saved? Have you obeyed the Lord and followed Him in believer's baptism? That's the first step of obedience. So, yes, preacher, I've done that. The Bible way. All the way. If it's not all the way, it's not biblical baptism. It's not a correct picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I ask you this morning as we close, are you ready to have the Lord's Supper? I'll read just two verses and I'll be done. He said in chapter 11, verse number 28, "But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread, and drink of that cup." We ought to be in good fellowship with the Lord. We ought to have our sins confessed before Him. Amen. And we should have examined our lives before we partake of the Lord's Supper. Amen. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I've asked our ladies.